Hello and welcome to A Woman's Heart, where we offer hope, encouragement, and real-life application to untangle the lies we believe and pursue the passion God has placed in our heart. I'm Lisa Granger. Have you ever found it scary or difficult to live out your faith in the world where God is not always welcome? And yet out in the world is where we need our faith the most. Today's guest is a rare treat for several reasons. One, she lives here in Williamsburg, so I was able to speak with her in person. And two, she is not in traditional ministry. Connie Matthews Harshaw has a long and illustrious career in public service. She started at the U.S. Navy shipyard and retired as a member of the Senior Executive Service after a 30-year career and becoming the agency's first female African-American SES. After retirement, she formed her own management consultant business and currently serves as a senior advisor to several presidential appointees in Washington, D.C., and to the Director General of the World Health Organization in Geneva, Switzerland. Connie has served on multiple boards for several community organizations and is currently the president of the Let Freedom Ring Foundation in Williamsburg. She is married to James and has one adult son. I couldn't help but be fired up and empowered by my conversation with Connie as she shared stories from around the world about her faith and the power we have as women. I hope you enjoy this conversation and feel inspired to always look to God first in whatever arena you are in. And if you need some verses to keep that hope in God going, I have a free printable version of 8 verses on my website at lisagranger.com. It's quick, easy, free, and helps us keep in touch. Without further ado, here is my conversation with Connie Matthews Harshaw.
Welcome to A Woman's Heart. I am very blessed today because I actually have my guest in person. We have Connie Matthews Harshaw with us today. Thanks so much for joining me today, Connie.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's always a pleasure.
Yes, it's always a pleasure to see you. I always enjoy seeing you and hearing you speak and love that you live in town. So this is a real treat for me to be able to talk to the person face to face instead of over Zoom. And I would love for the audience to get to know you a little bit better. I mean, I know that you're an amazing woman with a very impressive resume, and you can also cut a mean rug. So, but let other people know a little bit about you.
Well, let's see. What don't they know? They don't know that I've spent my entire adult life collecting hard rock guitars.
Really?
Yes, yes. I started to say shot glasses, but that lasted until my early 20s. And then after that, I started doing t-shirts and guitars from all around the world.
Wow, yeah. That is fun. No, I didn't know about that. Well, that's why you were dancing so well. So for those of you that don't know, the reference is Connie and I actually got to know each other on the local Dancing with the Williamsburg Stars, and you did a really fabulous and fun routine. That was a lot of fun.
Well, thank you. For an old woman, I guess I did pretty good. I opened the show, so that was pretty exciting. It was the longest 2 minutes of my life.
Well, it was fun, and you did great, so you can add that to your resume of many, many accomplishments that in public service and working with a lot of different nonprofits. And the reason why I reached out to you for A Woman's Heart is normally I will interview people that are, their job is in ministry. They are either writing or they're speaking, or that's their ministry. You're a strong woman of faith, yet you're not necessarily in ministry. You've been in public service. You've been in the government. You've been all over the world doing a lot of different things, just out and about in the real world. And that's where most of us actually are, is out in the real world, shall we say, not in a ministry setting, but yet you still live out your faith that way. And I would love to dive into that a little bit. And how does your faith really play into how you do what you've done all your life?
Well, my faith guides me. And so to say I'm not in the ministry, maybe not formally.
Yes.
But the things that I do, I happen to know that it's God's plan. It's not mine. Because I protest a lot. about things that I get assigned to do.
Yes.
Because I think I don't have time. I'd rather be on the back of a cruise ship or the front of an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
But I get called to go into places like the United Nations and to deal with victims and survivors of sexual misconduct. And I have to take my faith with me because your heart breaks every day.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to speak about a God that will take care of everything and be convincing. And so I take my ministry with me and I say to them, they say, oh, you know, this is never going to get better. And I'm thinking the only way that you can have hope in your darkest hour is that you have to know God and you have to be able to talk about God and you have to be able to convince people that there's somebody bigger than you and I and they're going to take care of this. So in all of the work that I do, God is going in the door before I get there.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I think you're right. And you've definitely walked in a lot of different places in that are very, very difficult. And one of the questions that I had was, how do you maintain that balance? Because in a lot of in the political arena and other places that you go, it at times appears hostile towards Christians.
Well, not only does it appear hostile,
it actually is.
It actually is.
Yes.
You know, I think about God first, always. Mm-hmm. I mean, even, you know, in the January 6th great mess that we had,
yeah,
I was so offended that someone would hold up the Bible. And I mean, I know there was a lot going on.
Yeah.
But the thing when I talked to the press and media afterwards, I said, the nerve, the audacity to hold up the Bible, God's word, in that event. I mean, I just don't understand. I don't care about your politics. I don't care about how you vote. Mm-hmm. But I do care about your respect for God.
Yes.
And why would you do that? So every chance that I get, you know, they're asking me about, you know, oh, what about this? What about this? And I say, well, you know, I have to look for the moment of faith. And I know that God walks with me all the time and most of the time in front of me so that I don't say anything that I shouldn't.
I'm going to say he stands behind me and puts his hand over
exactly.
my mouth. It's like, you know, silence is golden, but duct tape is silver.
Well, I tell people, I say, you know, God has his arms wrapped around me, but he doesn't have his hands over my mouth. So I have to be careful, but traveling the world and you know, dealing with a lot of people that are not Christian, there's always somebody greater than them.
Yeah.
There's something greater than them. And they may not call that Jesus. They may not call it God. They may call it Allah. They may call it something else. But if you talk to them about the fact that we're not in control, they agree.
Yeah. Okay.
So my faith is my faith, and I respect other faiths.
Yes.
But I also understand that no matter where I go, I was in Cairo for a couple of months last year, and, you know, there was a clear understanding that no, we're not in control. Mm-hmm. We may call that faith, that person, that God, something different, but we are all understanding that it's not us. It's not our will.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, no, I love that you're able to find that common ground because, as you said, we can respect people of other faiths. We don't have to beat them over the head. We can still walk in ours. But there are some things that are common no matter what your faith walk is. I mean, we all want what's best for our children. We all
yes.
want, you know, to
yes.
to live a good life. So when we can find that, and I find it interesting that the common ground is that we're not in control.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's very clear when I was in Egypt, you know, I thought, OK, well, now what how am I going to talk to these victims and survivors in the Middle East?
Yeah.
And it didn't take long for everybody to understand that prayer and ask who you're praying to.
Yeah.
Prayer always works. Prayer works. Faith works. And so once you have that understanding, and you can accept that and you don't force your religion, you know, it gives you a broader perspective and an appreciation for the fact that, you know what, we're talking about the same thing. We're talking about the same thing. We're talking about faith.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you may do it differently, but we're talking about faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And in a lot of the other arenas that you walk with, I know you as an amazing, strong, talented Black woman. And right or wrong, gender and race plays a part in our world and how we experience it and how other people see us. How has your faith played into that? And how have you walked what can sometimes be a difficult experience?
Well, it's oftentimes difficult because I'm not as young as a lot of people think that I look. Trust me. So I've
been
through
it. You just have more experience.
Yeah, well, yeah, yes. I'm seasoned.
Yes.
But I got to tell you, I go in and very early deal with that. You know, okay. I say to people, I had Senator DeConcini say to me once, I was sitting at the head of a federal agency, and it was an agency of lawyers. We were doing administrative law. No, I'm not a lawyer, but somebody had this bright idea that I could be a good leader. So I'm over there, and I get up to the Hill. I'm on Capitol Hill, and he says, oh, who are you? And I said, I'm the executive director of the Administrative Conference of the United States. He says, well, I thought that was just an agency of little old white men. And I said, little old white men and me. So, Senator, let's talk about our appropriation.
Yes.
So you just deal with it. You don't have to deal with it in anger.
Yes.
Because a lot of times it is, it's a point of reference that I say to people when they say, well, you know, I want to apologize the way I say this. I said, listen, you need to understand that I'm resilient. Mm-hmm. I come from a generation that has gone through nothing else that any other generation has gone through.
Yeah.
So trust me, I've got thick skin.
Yeah.
Let's get to it.
Yeah.
And they do. And it gives me a different perspective. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and hopefully people will frequently say, shall we say, silly, stupid things. And they don't realize how it sounds, but their intention is not necessarily always bad or ill-intentioned. It's just kind of clueless.
Well, I get that. I get that a lot. And it's funny because when I was younger, I would walk into meetings and people would say, oh my gosh, and you're so articulate. And I would say, okay, I was educated in the possession of the Queen Elizabeth. I learned English, not American English.
Yes.
I'm a Harvard Fellow. So I'm trying to understand why you're surprised that I'm articulate. I've been talking since I was two.
Yes.
So help me understand. Why would you say that? And you know what? When they think about it, they think about how stupid that is.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, oh, I guess that was kind of dumb. You know, and then sometimes I just say, you do know that was your outside voice.
Oh, that outside voice can get us into so much trouble, can't it?
You do know that, right? Or they'll say something about, you know, something that's gender-based or, you know, and I'll look at them and I'll say, you know, okay, I am the only woman in the room, right? And they'll say, oh, yeah. I'll say, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. You know, and you just stop them. And a lot of times you're right. They say it, but they don't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll do it and they won't think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, a lot of us are frequently seasoning our foot with some salt and pepper.
Well, you know, I teach diversity, equity, and inclusion to very, very important people in Washington. Mm-hmm. But I tell them all the time, we all make mistakes.
Yes.
I make them. I teach the course and I make them. I go to Hard Rocks. So I'm in London and I'm looking for a Hard Rock, the Hard Rock Cafe. So I go into the median strip to cross the street and there are two women standing there. One's black and one's not black. One's white.
Mm-hmm.
I immediately walked up to the black woman and said, hi, can you tell me where the Hard Rock Cafe is? And she looked at me, she and her friend, they looked at me and she said to me, no parlez-vous anglais. And I said,
oh,
okay. The white woman said, I can probably help you. Where are you looking? The bias that we have.
Yes.
Because we think before we act, you know, we all do it.
Yeah.
It's a mistake. And so when I open my sessions in Washington, I tell people, I'm not immune to this. Mm-hmm. We all do it. But once you recognize it, learn from it.
Yeah.
So I'll never do that again.
You'll just look at both of them.
I know. It was quite embarrassing, actually, because she looked at me like, I don't speak English, but why are you talking to me?
Well, it's not too far asunder an assumption to expect someone in England to be speaking English.
That's true. But, you know, it gives me, I took no break in that. I took no comfort in that because I thought, you know what, Connie, that is a moment that you need to remember.
Yeah.
And you remember that, you know, people will show you grace.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think that is very, very true. And one of the other, I don't know if you've seen this movie. I recently saw the movie Cabrini, and it is about an Italian nun who comes to the U.S. in the late 1800s during the time when no one liked Italians. The Italians were looked on as just scum. And so then she's a woman. And she's a nun, and she's Italian. And so she definitely has a rough go of it. And at one point, there's a scene, which I love. I don't want to give any spoilers to anybody. And there's a very powerful man and says, oh, it's too bad you weren't born a man. You would have made a great man. And she was like, no, men could not do what we do as far as women. And I wanted to stand up in the theater and go, yes, yes. And I think there are certain qualities, maybe it's stereotypical, but I think there's certain qualities that women have that lend themselves for some weaknesses, but also a lot of strengths. And I would say, what are some of those strengths you think that you have as a woman that you can bring to the table as when you're doing your many things?
Well, you know, God is so wise. When you think about when you become a teenager and you're given the gift to be able to create life.
Yes.
And to nurture that and to be able to understand, I thought to myself, you know, God has an amazing sense of humor. He gives us these little people. Mm-hmm. They can't talk. They can't tell us anything. But somehow we know. We know. Mm-hmm. We know. And not only do we know what they're thinking and how to guide them, but we also know how to guide their fathers.
That is sometimes even more challenging.
Harder, I know. So, you know, I think about that sixth sense all the time. I think about that intuition that we have as women. It works well in management because it's not just black or white. Mm-hmm. That gray area is something that we all understand as women.
Yes.
And we use it. So, you know, I think that it's just a gift that we have. Yeah. Not to mention, you know, that we have more endurance for pain. God knows we do.
Yes.
And a lot of things because we have to. And we're resilient. We're resilient. I mean, we've got a tough way to go. We've always had. Women has.
Yeah.
Have. And so, you know, but we keep doing, we keep going back and doing it again.
Yes.
We wake up the next day saying, okay, well, it's another day. Let's just get going. So,
We do it again and again. When you mentioned that, we just keep, sometimes we don't even know and we keep going. I don't know if you're familiar, the symbol for Mary Kay was a bumblebee. And the reason why was there was some thing that she read, the aeronautical engineers had determined that the wings on a bumblebee were too small. Aerodynamically, the wings on a bumblebee are too small. It shouldn't be able to fly. But it doesn't know that, and so it flies anyway.
Yeah.
And she thought that was a beautiful metaphor for women that sometimes we don't realize it, but we just do it anyway.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
At the same time, though, I think we underestimate the power and the influence that we can have.
And we should get over that.
Okay,
because
then.
We are the psychologist for the world. Everybody talks to us. They tell us things. They tell us things that compel us to act and to help. And so that also is the strength and the power of being a woman.
Yeah.
You know, you can be sitting at home doing nothing and your phone will ring and they'll say, well, listen, I just wanted to talk to someone because, and then they go on and on and on. And then they go, well, what do you think? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, can we charge for this?
Yeah. Some people do.
Yeah, they do. But when you think about it, we are the psychologist of the world. People, everyone, we heal everybody's issue. We talk to them. We listen to them.
Yeah.
So that's also very powerful.
Yeah, I think it is. And I know when I heard you speak at the Power of Women, you talked a lot about, you know, what was special about women and our resilience and our ability to tell the truth.
Yes.
And how has that played in? You mentioned that, you know, you protest a lot. Uh-huh. But how does that truth-telling play in, you know, with your faith and then and what you're doing?
Well, you can't ever go wrong by telling the truth. If you tell the truth, you don't have to have a really good memory because the truth never changes.
Yeah.
And so I tell people all the time, you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. You have to let me know how you will receive it best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can soften it up. I can slow it down, not so that it's not so fast and direct, but there's no doubt that I'm going to tell you the truth.
Yes.
Now, I was a little worried in my younger days that that was not the way to go because of everybody that was around me saying, if you want to progress in your career, you know, you can't tell the truth. You've got to just tell them what they want to hear. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've found that is the worst thing that you can do.
Wow.
And when my reputation now, at, you know, doing what I do, people call me because I tell them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little hard sometimes for them to sit with it. But once they sit with it, they come back and they say, you know what? You're right. You're right. It was a little difficult to hear, but you know, you're right. Yeah. So yeah, it always, the truth is always, the truth will set you free.
Yes. The truth will set you free.
That's right.
And hopefully with the faith, he can give you discernment in how to
deliver
it. How to relate.
Yes.
And how to deliver it. Because, yeah, that was one of the other things that we need to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we may just need to work on the delivery.
Yeah. And when you can't, when it's painful, you have to learn that too. And that's where my faith steps in.
Yeah.
When I know it's going to be hard, when it's a family member that I care about and I know that I've got to tell them the truth, you pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say to them, I want you to know how this is going to make me feel. But to do anything other than to tell you the truth is to, you know, do a disservice to you.
Yeah.
Because you have to be able to get well. You have to be able to do whatever it is, whatever dilemma they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I found out that works.
Yeah. No, I think that's very good. And certainly we know Jesus, he was going to tell the truth.
That's right.
And there are times when I'll read things in the Bible and I'm like, oh, ouch. I didn't really want to read that one. You mean you expect me to do that?
Uh-huh.
You're like, oh. So I'm sure you've never run into that problem.
Oh, yeah, right. All the time.
All the time.
Well, you were in my speech at for Women's History Month, and they asked me what was my failure or what, I can't remember how the question was phrased.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him about my practice husband.
Yes.
Because, you know, I got married early. I got married at 19 because I thought I was 25, but that was in my own mind.
Yes.
But anyway, and, you know, I thought that to be a good wife, you had to tell him what he wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And then I woke up one morning and I was like, no, I'm not going to do that at 22, I think. And I thought, that's not healthy for any of us. I'm going to tell him the truth. If he asks me a question, I'm going to tell him the truth. And some people can't deal with that.
Yeah.
And you have to make a decision early on. Are you going to live a life that's not based on truth and faith? Or are you going to do something different? And for me, God showed me the way and I decided. And it's the best thing that could have ever happened for me.
Yeah. Well, and you've certainly done a lot since then. And there's one more thing that I wanted to think about your speech. When you talked about being fearless.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you live that out? Just being fearless.
Well, again, it's God. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's God. I think all the time, some things that I think I should be afraid of. And so people think I'm crazy. But your faith, if you have strong faith, it's going to guide you. And and one of those things, and it's not just about in the decisions that you make, because if you have faith, if you really have faith, then you know how it's going to come out. You know God's going to take care of it. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part of being fearless. So it's not just me being fearless.
Yeah. It's not being reckless.
Exactly. It's being the fact that you know no matter what, God's going to take care of it.
Yes.
And, you know, something as simple as I was on the metro one night coming out of Washington on a car by myself, and a young man got on the car and he said, "Why don't you give me that ring?" And I said, "You know what? I've had a really bad day today. Why don't you take it?" And he looked at me like, "What is wrong with you? Give me the ring so I can rob you and get off the train." And I thought, you know, how old are you? You look like my son's age. And I started talking to this guy. I got to tell you, it was a crazy moment for me. I should have been afraid. But, you know, somehow I just knew I'm going to be taken care of. I'm the only woman on this train with this man. But you know what? My God takes care of me. He's proven it over and over and over again.
Yes.
So that's where the fearlessness comes from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. And no, you have a presence when you walk into the room, which is one of the things I love about you.
You
have a very commanding presence. And I imagine it for some people it could be intimidating. I like it. So I like you. So.
Well, thank you. Well, for a lot of people, it's intimidating. And that was, you know, that was a concern early in my career. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, God speaks to me all the time. And he said, "You know what? It ain't your problem.
No, nope.
It's theirs."
Yeah. Yes,
said,
it is.
You know, and he said, the other thing was, you know, I used to worry about people talking about me, you know, talking behind my back. And he's one moment woke up in the middle of the night and I thought, okay, so God must be talking to me because I'm hearing something really crazy that says, but they're behind your back. So don't worry about it. Mm. They're not leading you. I'm leading you.
Yes.
I'm leading you. So don't even worry about it. Get up and do what I've called you to do and don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. And so I don't.
Yeah. No. There you go. I like that. Amen. I'll second that. So, Connie, if there was something you could say to encourage someone to pursue the passion that God has placed in their heart, what would you say to encourage them?
I'd say, listen. Listen to God and don't fight. Because, see, I listened, but I've also been known to fight. God knows exactly what he's doing. And he only has your best interest at heart. Mm-hmm. And if you believe that, and if you're a person with faith, then it's hard. It is very hard because you come up with all kinds of excuses not to do things. Oh, I don't have time. I can't stop. I can't go into this neighborhood. I can't talk to these people. Understand that you have to stand still and listen. Mm-hmm. And once you do it and it comes through clearly, just walk on faith.
Yeah.
And do it.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Now, if people want to connect with you or follow you and what you're doing in your career, what's the best way for them to do that?
Oh, my God. I'm all over every social media thing there is. They've got to do is Google me, Connie Matthews Harshaw. Mm-hmm. And you'll come in LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. I'm trying to name all the ones without embarrassing my younger relatives because they think I don't know what I'm doing. But also, you know, just stop and say hello and talk to me and get my number and, you know, email me. And I'm certainly somebody that I'd like to engage with you. If I can help anybody, just let me know.
I believe that. Okay. I believe that. Thank you so much for joining us today, Connie.
Welcome.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Lisa. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for joining me today on A Woman's Heart. I'm Lisa Granger. I hope you felt empowered by that conversation with Connie Matthews Harshaw, and I know she would love to connect with you on any of her social media platforms. People like her give me hope that God is still working in our world. And for some more hope, I have a free printable version of 8 Verses of Hope on my website, lisagranger.com. When you go to the website, click on Verses of Hope, or you can click on the link in the show notes of the podcast.
I appreciate you listening, and make sure to follow on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss an episode. And please leave a rating or review. It means so much to me and helps others to find the encouragement on the podcast as well. Have a blessed day.